greed, envy, desire, all of them emotions come into play. It pretty much took over my life quickly because of the mental stimulation was stimulation I wasn't used to.
And what kind of things, you talk about mental stimulation, what kind of things did you have to think about? What kind of mental exercises were you doing?
Well, I have an eidetic memory to start with, so I have an eidetic memory for detail. I was studying books on architecture, glass and its effects with the elements and how it reacts. I was studying human psychology, canine psychology, feline psychology, locks, safes, alarms. I was profiling, I was learning to profile basically. I mean, even if you weren't a criminal, I'm sure that there's times when you sat down and wanted to watch a good murder mystery or a whodunit or a cops and robbers on the TV. It's mentally stimulating because it's out of the ordinary. The only difference for me was that I was living it.
When you were talking earlier, you talked about one particular burglary which changed the way you were thinking about things. Can you tell me a bit about that?
It was a jewellery box like any other jewellery box. Didn't really have any outstanding features or anything. It was just another jewellery box. But when I opened it, when I got back to the hotel that I was staying in, the Kensington, up in Kensington, I opened the jewellery box and it was a dowry, a wedding dowry, in Asian gold, with a lot of jade depicting the marriage of these two people. It had a profound effect on me because a dowry is there for the children, for when they get married. And I suddenly realised there was a connection between one generation and the next generation and the next generation, so I have an effect on people. And I didn't like the effect I was having because it brought it home to me. These are real people. They're not just houses. They're places that people live. But my eyes did die. It was a horrible thing to see. If I wasn't going to be happy doing what I was doing, why was I doing what I was doing? I found a conscience. I've always had a conscience, but I just didn't utilise it in terms of my actions and what the consequences of them actions were.
So what did you do next with your conscience?
I handed myself into the police. I gave up a life's work. I had a huge house that was paid for through criminal enterprise. I had a nice car, nice clothes. I had a nice lifestyle. You're always going to be with yourself. No matter how many rooms you go into, you're always going to be there with yourself. And I didn't like being with myself then.
So once you handed yourself in, you went to prison. And when was it that you came into contact with restorative justice?
Within about 2-3 weeks of being in prison, the officer that had arrested me, the charging officer, he basically set it up so that I could meet Ian and Caroline. And they came up and interviewed me probably 6-7 weeks after I'd been arrested and sentenced.
What's your initial thought when someone tells you, right, what you could be doing is meeting the victims of your crime?
Well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, it's all right walking the walk and talking the talk. But when it actually comes to being there and taking it full on, I think that's when it counts. That's when the quality of something can be measured.
So tell me a little bit about that meeting. I mean, what was that like?
It was like being set upon by three boxers, three professional boxers with emotional punch gloves on. When you think, yeah, crikey, okay, just one more left to do, and I've already had six hidings here, I can take one more beating. You got a curveball thrown at you that turns out, no, it's just compassion and sympathy and understanding that they're going to throw at you, and that sort of knocked me out of my chair. It inspired me that even after what they've gone through and are still going through, and sitting in front of the person that's put them through that, they can still have compassion.
And how did they show that compassion?
They told me that once the initial shock of the burglary had taken its hold and then moved on, what was replaced by it was compassion and worry for me that I was all right. If she could forgive me, then crikey, I can do anything. I think everybody wants absolution of something or other at some point. She gave me mine, but in giving me that, I realised I couldn't squander it.
So you've talked about not squandering your absolution.
Yeah.
So what have you done with it?
Okay, so I've got myself an identity, which is mine. I've got a bank account for the first time in my life. I have a job in a charity shop. I have a flat with a front door I don't have to worry, can I jump out the window if somebody starts knocking at the door, because it might be the old Bill, the police. And I'm moving in the direction that I want to move in.